Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many, many things you've already blessed us with this day. And now, the opportunity once again to get back in your word. Help us now as we take another look at the miracles and wonders. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our series on miracles and wonders, we've already covered this next two verses, but let's go back over them because they apply so well to the following ones concerning what we as born-again Christians have to look forward to in our future as born-again Christians. And one of those things that he mentions is that we are going to be able to receive a glorified body, a body that will not decay, will not corrupt, will not diminish, it will not go away. We'll have and be able to use that body for eternity with no pain or suffering or any of that. But if we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we can see very well-known verses here concerning that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. And it reads, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this immortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen to that. That moment in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be able to receive a body that is incorruptible and immortal. And that is by grace, because we sure haven't earned it. All right, now if you will, turn on over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we see here further description of this moment when we're going to receive this glorified body in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now this reference to sleep is the born-again Christian not being alive as we think of it in connection with your human body. Asleep in Christ. That is, you have left this realm and you are with the Lord in heaven waiting to receive that glorified body. Read 13 again. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now this preventing is not to proceed before. The people that have already passed away in this realm, left their human bodies and gone to be with the Lord, when he returns, he's going to bring them back with him, and then they will receive their glorified bodies. And then immediately after that, the rest of us that are alive, or whoever may be here then at that time that are alive, that are born again Christians, then they will receive their glorified bodies. It's all going to happen, as explained in 1 Corinthians, in a moment and twinkling of an eye. It's going to go on so quickly that it isn't going to matter that you have to wait your turn. It's going to happen so quickly. As it continues, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's raising up with a glorified body. "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, this doesn't mean that we'll ever be with the Lord in the clouds. It says we're going to be with the Lord wherever the Lord is from that moment forward. So when he creates the brand new earth, we're going to be with him. So when he comes down and establishes the millennial kingdom, we'll come down with him on this earth throughout the millennial kingdom to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Then when he wipes out this earth, creates a new earth, then we can go over into the new earth. Always be with him, and we will be like him. Another thing that's brought out, to actually be like the Lord. And that is amazing, that he has given us that opportunity to be able to be like him. Over in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, sons and daughters, of course, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See him as he is. Be with him for eternity. Wherever he is, we will be right there with him. And that is awesome to know, that we will be with the Creator, the one who spoke everything into existence, our Savior Jesus Christ. Be with him for eternity and have a body like him. So however that body is, whatever that body is like, we know it's going to be beyond what we could imagine, because if the one who has all power and authority over all creation chooses to be in a particular way and then allows us to be that same way, that is awesome. And that's what we have to look forward to. All right, now if you will turn to Revelation, the revelation to John, as we see in the book of Revelation, that was given to him by way of Jesus Christ, revealed a lot to us. And here in Revelation chapter 1, let's pick it right up here in verse 1. That miraculous appearing of Jesus before John when he was in the Isle of Patmos. He was sent there as a prisoner, basically. It was a prison island. And were put into exile and put there. But as we see this unfold in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now don't misunderstand this word shortly. Right here, it doesn't mean in its use here in a short period of time. It means suddenly or quickly. As we continue in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What an introduction. This revelation of what is going to occur. To let us know the things that are going to be unfolding in the future. As it continues in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now this, all eyes will see him, everyone will see him, is when he comes back in his glorious return at the end of the tribulation time. Because when he comes back and raptures us up, that we referred to back in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians, he'll only be seen by the truly born again. Because they're going to go up and greet him in the air, because he doesn't come all the way down and set his foot upon the planet at that time. But here he's coming in the clouds, and everyone's going to see him, and then he steps down onto the earth and establishes the millennial kingdom. But let's see the things that he's teaching us here that occur as it continues. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, and which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ, the Almighty. Not just a little bit of might, Almighty. I, John, who also am a brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. For the word and for the testimony means he was sentenced and put there because he was sharing the word and the testimony. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Thus he begins to give him the revelation. And all through the book of Revelation, many things are revealed, many things are exposed, and we can understand, but there are many mysteries found within the book of Revelation that no one will understand until it gets closer to the time of the revelation, until the time of the initiation of the things that are recorded in the Word of God concerning the last days. Some of the prophecies of Daniel and other prophets of the Old Testament, some of the things in the Gospels, and especially the things we find in the book of Revelation. Many have speculated, many have proclaimed that they understand it, but we don't fully understand the book of Revelation until he reveals it to us. And he hasn't fully revealed all the mysteries and all the things that are recorded in the book of Revelation. Many of them, the events that are unfolding, will not be understood until the initiation of the tribulation period, and the people that are around during the tribulation period, when they are studying the book of Revelation, they will fully and clearly understand it more because it applies to them. All right, now let's turn to Revelation chapter 19 in verse 11, and we see another appearing of Jesus Christ. And this is the appearing of Jesus Christ when he comes down to establish the millennial kingdom at the end of the tribulation time, at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Now, we could go through an entire study of the book of Revelation, as I spoke of, and look at many of the miracles and wonders that are described in the book of Revelation. But that's an entire study on its own. But here we're just going to go right to the event of the end of the tribulation time as we see the vision given to John Christ in Revelation chapter 19, picking it up here in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the word of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the event unfolding here is right at the end of the tribulation time, when the Lord comes down and basically wipes out everybody that isn't a born-again Christian, that did not get saved during the tribulation time, because the other born-again Christians have returned with him to establish and set up the millennial kingdom. And we see that the Antichrist and the false prophet have been taken and cast into the lake of fire. But note here in chapter 20 what happens to Satan. As it reads, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So Satan gets cast into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then that 1,000 years is what we call the millennial period, the millennial time, where we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years. As it continues, we see, And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Interesting here how he says, loosed a little season. We're not given the time period there, but it does say a little season. And he's going to go out and he's going to tempt folks. Why is he tempting folks? Because during that 1,000 years... of the millennial period, there were a lot of people that were born. Because the people that survived the tribulation time that go over into the millennial period, normal human bodies, go over in the millennial period continuing to have children. And those children all need to make the decision to either follow Jesus Christ or to follow Satan. So Satan is loosed for a short season, so all those folks have a opportunity to either deny Jesus Christ or to follow Satan. As it continues, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. This is speaking of those that were killed during the tribulation time. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead are all those right up to that point that have died that did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. Of course, it'll be those that died during the millennial period as well that are included in that. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, these here he's speaking of is all those born-again Christians right up to that point that have received their glorified body, that had came down with him to establish the millennial period at the end of the tribulation time, will be able to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and be given different levels of authority and opportunities to serve him for that time. Which is miraculous that he gives us so much available to us, so many opportunities to be able to serve him and build up even more blessings, more rewards, to roll over into the eternal state. As it continues in verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison," like I mentioned earlier, so he can tempt all those that were born during the millennial period, "and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Isn't that terrible that there's that many people that turn against the Lord during the millennial period, with him right down here with them, that there'll be so many that will still deny him and turn against him that it's like the sand of the sea. Verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment, where all of the lost of all time will be judged, and all those that survived the tribulation time that went over into the millennial period and lived there and had children, and all those died. So all the people that died during the tribulation time and during the millennial period will be a part of this judgment as well. Some have mistakenly said that the Great White Throne Judgment is only for the ungodly, but it's not, because then that would eliminate judgment for all the ones that died during the tribulation time and during the millennial period, especially during the millennial period. So everyone has to have judgment. So this includes those people as well. They already had the Bema judgment, which occurs immediately after the rapture, and then the second major judgment, which is the Great White Throne Judgment, where everybody that hasn't been a part of the Bema judgment will be judged. All right, now turn to chapter 21. Awesome, encouraging miracles and wonders, what we had to look forward to for eternity as born-again Christians. So inspiring here. Revelation chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Brand new creation. All a big, beautiful, brand new creation. Because the old will be wiped away. The present earth that we are on, including the oceans, will all be wiped away. He mentions the oceans here because the reference still goes back to the flood, where the earth was destroyed by water. But now he's referring here to where even the water is going to be destroyed. You can go over into 2 Peter and study about even the elements themselves. All of creation, all the physical material that was spoken into existence is going to be melted away, burned away instantly. and all created brand new. It continues in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Awesome things that we have to look forward to for eternity as truly born-again Christians. Far more than we deserve, that's for sure. And a beautiful brand-new city that's going to come down and be upon the earth, the new earth. And it'll be a place for us to be able to go into those 12 gates that's described. As you continue to read in chapter 21 and 22, the description of the city, a description of what we have to look forward to, a miraculous, wondrous city, a place that the nations can come into to worship God, 1,500 mile square city is described here, and it is going to be so beautiful beyond what we can imagine, and being able to go into that city and be able to spend time directly right there with the Lord, walking hand in hand with the Lord, and being able to go out of that city and enjoy the beautiful, huge, brand new earth with all the new creatures spoke back into existence, all the wondrous, beautiful creatures of the past that he'll bring back into existence. We'll be able to interact with them in the mountains and the streams and the oceans and all, so many things to be able to look forward to enjoy as part of the family of God. Way more than we deserve, that's for sure. And on over in chapter 22, in verse 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's coming back. He's going to judge us. He's going to reward us. So much to look forward to as born-again Christians. Very miraculous and wondrous. Let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the things that you have preserved for us to be able to study, to have just a little glimpse into what you have in store for us in the future. So much more than we deserve, that's for sure. And we thank you oh so much for the things you've already done for us. Help us always to have that burning desire to dig deep into those scriptures to find the inspiring words. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.